The Old Testament reading is taken, well, actually is the whole of Ruth chapter 2, which is found on page 268 in the Church Bibles. This is about Ruth meets Boaz. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they called back. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, "Whose young woman is that?" The foreman replied, "She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she'd been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they have finished harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might have been harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Amen. In our house, quite often, we're desperately trying to find a film that everybody will be happy to watch. And it can be a real struggle, as some of you might know. For me, one of the first questions I ask when someone suggests something is it going to be really depressing? Because I have to confess, I do like a happy ending, a story with a happy ending. And I think probably I'm not alone in that. The book of Ruth is a story from the Old Testament, which I think falls into that kind of category. It's quite a popular story from the Bible, and it's one that it's almost fairy tale-y, actually, because it starts in a place of real hardship and challenge, and gradually as we go through, it ends, without giving any spoilers away, it does end in a really positive way. The Book of Ruth is one of the only two books of the Bible that bear a woman's name. The other one is Esther, which is also in the Old Testament. And interestingly, both of those stories, they're both quite short, and they're both stories about female characters who survive against all the odds. They both have a really kind of uplifting ending. And we also see how the slightly, well, an incredible way in which God works in unexpected ways in those stories to bring about redemption at the end. There's a lot that we can learn from the Book of Ruth, I think. This particular chapter, I think it can tell us something about how we can be people of faith in a world which is messy and chaotic. It also talks about the character and nature of God and God's compassion and love and desire to bring us into green pastures. So it talks about those two things. Before we get stuck into the story, I do just want to mention, I think this has been mentioned before, but the fact that at the beginning of the book of Matthew, you might well know already that there is something known as the genealogy of Jesus. And it lists the line, the family lines that led to Jesus. It's quite boring, actually, but there are bits in it where a character will stand out and you think, oh yeah, I've heard of them. And they're mainly the lines, the people that are mentioned, they're mainly the men, the fathers. But there are a small handful of women who are mentioned, and Ruth is one of those as mothers who are in the genealogy of Jesus. So I think that there are definitely elements of Ruth's story that prefigure what will culminate in Jesus. So as we come across those when we go through chapter 2 today, I'll just try and flag those up. And you may well notice things yourself that I don't mention as well. But again, before we get stuck in, just one other thing that I wanted to mention is that although this is a really beautiful and uplifting story, for me, there are elements of the Book of Ruth that make me feel a little bit uneasy and uncomfortable. And it's really around the fact that this is set in ancient Israel. And I look at this society and I cannot help but think what a difficult world it was to be a woman in. And that does also create a bit of the backdrop for the Book of Ruth. Because it was a world where women were, their value and their worth was only measured in accordance with the men to whom they belonged in their families. So their husbands, fathers, brothers, sons. That was how their worth was measured. So you can forget about everyone's a child of God. It feels a bit as if women were just seen as property and almost not as full human beings sometimes in ancient Israel. And yet, the person who wrote down this story in ancient times would almost certainly have been a man, because women wouldn't have had the tools or the knowledge of how to write a story down. And the author of this book, whoever it was, some scholars think it might have been the prophet Samuel, but we don't really know. The author definitely had an enormous amount of compassion and empathy for the female characters in this story. This was not somebody who saw women as just property. So throughout this story, we have this sort of juxtaposition between those two different views of women. And I think that it says something about the fact that as human beings, we are messy and we are chaotic. And the Bible, I just think it's amazing how the Bible kind of echoes that. And it says, yes, that's how human beings are. But it shows how God works in these sometimes miraculous ways in the midst of the chaos and the challenge. So for me, that is kind of the backdrop to this story. So if we start to get a bit stuck in, I know that you heard all about chapter 1 last week. But I did want to home in to set the scene on something that comes up right at the end of chapter 1. Now, the scene that was set in the opening of Ruth is really one of two women who are in a really, really challenging situation. And it's one of almost despair in places. Naomi's lost both her husband and both of her sons. Now, if that in itself is not enough to be dealing with that amount of grief thrown at one person, there is also the situation that leaves a woman in ancient Israelite society, because there is no man to protect Naomi and her daughter-in-law Ruth. So they are really quite stuck, and they are going to have to try and help themselves in a society which is not really set up to help widows and people that are vulnerable in the way that they are. There is a couple of verses right at the end of chapter 1 where Naomi says something which sounds so desolate. So chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, she says this. "Don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Because the Lord has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." That's pretty bleak, isn't it? She is not in a good place. And it almost, I think, prefigures something that we see later on, all these generations later, with Jesus hanging on the cross, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As people of faith, there may well be points in our life where we have no sense of God being with us at all. That can be part of our faith experience. Even Jesus experienced that himself. But, of course, we know that the story doesn't end there. And in actual fact, Naomi isn't in a complete place of darkness, because she's been given a light with her in that darkness, her daughter-in-law Ruth, who refuses to leave her behind and refuses to leave Naomi to face her troubles on her own. So chapter 2 opens, and we have operation stations at the beginning of chapter 2. We've got Ruth saying, okay, I am not going to lie down and let this thing wash over me and despair and cry. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something about the plight that we're in. So she sets off to try and earn some money simply so that they can live. And in verse 1, we have a little piece of information that's just dropped in there where it says, "Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing whose name was Boaz." And then that's just left as part for a couple of verses. And then as Ruth sets out into the field, towards the end of verse 3, it says, "As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech." It really looks as if Ruth had no idea that she was going to be working in the field that belonged to a relative of Naomi. I just wonder if that wasn't a coincidence. Is it possible that behind the scenes, God might just have been moving things so that these two women could be gradually brought to a place of flourishing in their lives? Hold that thought, because we're going to come back to that in a few moments. It's also worth pointing out at this point in the chapter, just been reminded of the incredible courage that Ruth is showing at this point in the story. At least three times in this chapter, Ruth is referred to as the Moabitess. There seems to be this real emphasis. The author wants us to remember that Ruth is an outsider. She's now in Judah, but she originally comes from Moab. And the original hearers of this story would have been hugely impressed by that detail, because they would have known that Judah and Moab were bitter enemies. They hated each other. And another factor behind this as well is that at the start of this book, we're told that this all takes place within the time of the Judges. And if you know anything about the book of Judges, you will know that it's an extremely chaotic and violent and unpleasant time in the history of the ancient Israelites. So Ruth, as a foreigner, is going to move into the middle of that very unstable situation. So she really is somebody that had a huge amount of courage and was doing it. The reasons that she was doing it for must have been really, really deep within her, because you wouldn't take this lightly at all. Another bit of backdrop that might not be so obvious when you just read through this chapter is that Ruth says she's going to work in the field to glean. In the Old Testament books of the law, in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, it's written there that a farmer is obliged to leave behind grain that poor people can come along and collect. That is a really extraordinary little detail, I think, because it's almost as if it's the first version of the welfare state. It's saying that this is a net to support the poor and the vulnerable and the weak. And all the way through the Old Testament, we get that theme recurring of this being about a God who cares about the poor, the vulnerable, the weak, the widow, the orphan, the outsider. Constantly that comes up. And if we look ahead to Jesus, who is God in the form of a person, we see a man who spent most of his time with the poor and the vulnerable and the weak and the outsider. So maybe that says that for you and I, as followers of this faith and of Jesus, that people ought to be able to look at our lives and see that we are people who care about the poor and the vulnerable and the weak. To think about the ways that we are actually living that out in our daily life. So let's fast forward a bit to Boaz, the character of Boaz in the story. Boaz is the figure in this story who has all the power. He is the male relative of Naomi and Ruth. And with that power, he is able to choose to be either compassionate or to choose to be cruel. So what do we see? How does he react when he sees that there is this young woman working in his field? In verse 8, this is how he addresses Ruth. "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars that the men have filled." This is where we're seeing that enormous care and compassion for Ruth that the author wrote down in the character of Boaz. He is showing an almost sort of fatherly, protective kind of care for this very, very vulnerable young woman. There is a particular detail of this that really stuck out to me, and you may or may not have picked this up, but in several parts of this chapter, we hear something that was probably people considered was normal occurrence for poor women in ancient Israel. Boaz says to her, as part of that speech, "I have told the men not to lay a hand on you." In other versions of the Bible, the word molest is used there, so I think we get the picture. So in ancient Israelite society, if you were a poor woman, it was just accepted that you could expect when you were going about your day that you might potentially be molested or sexually assaulted. It rang massive bells with me for the Me Too movement that has recently become a big thing in popular understanding. That people are saying, this happens, but it's not acceptable. Isn't it extraordinary that in a text that was written about 3,000 years ago, we've got a character in Boaz who is almost saying, this stuff happens, but it's not all right. For me, Boaz in this story is almost a God figure. The traits that Boaz shows are traits that we see in God throughout the Bible. And I felt that that was quite a powerful little detail about this story. So if we continue on, we then get a bit of an explanation of why Boaz feels so compassionate towards Ruth. And this comes in verse 11 and 12. He says to her, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." That is such a beautiful response to somebody who has been through a really traumatic experience in her life. This is a character who is putting himself into the shoes of Ruth. And he's saying, I see what you've been through. How awful for you that you've had to cope with all of that. And I'm going to do my very best to help you and support you where you are now. I just wondered if maybe that's what God says to us when we go through our greatest struggles, that there's a God who says to us, I know and I understand everything that you've been through, and I'm with you, and I'm going to help you and support you through it. I just thought that was such a beautiful prefiguring of Jesus.